place for a while.
Seven people confirmed killed. Crews are now out of the water. They are not searching. Well, let's go to Allison Trierce right now with some new information. Allison?
John, I've just been told by Minneapolis police that we've got some hazmat crews coming in right now. In fact, they're just in front of me. I can see their lights. What we have, I'm told, are two freight cars from the rail. There was a train. You might remember we've reported a lot about this. There's a train underneath this bridge collapse, and there are two freight cars that were crushed by it. And now I'm told at least one of those cars is leaking some sort of noxious fumes. And as a result of that, the winds are beginning to pick up, and they feel that it could be a dangerous situation. So they have called for hazmat to come in and take a full inspection. And in the meantime, we are standing by to learn more about exactly what is inside that car. I asked those questions. They really don't know yet. They just know that something is in the air. It doesn't smell right. They are now telling us we may have to move further back as a precaution as hazmat comes in here to investigate.
Thanks for that update, Allison. Train cars collapsed underneath the bridge that collapsed, and unfortunately, perhaps some of the worst circumstances have resulted from that.
Yeah, a few hours ago, we wondered aloud on the air what was in the train cars. We saw the cars dented and crumpled underneath the bridge and dented from the force of the collapse, and now hazmat is being called in to take a look at what's underneath and what is in those cars to see if it poses a danger as the continuing troubles in this area of 35W in the Mississippi River, they do go on deep, deep into the morning here on this Thursday at 2:01. There's so much to cover, so many angles to cover, and so many people to talk to. Thursday, this day, will not be a very good day in the Twin Cities. We have told a number of stories of survival, of heroism, but let's face it, we have a number of families that are affected by this, and more will be before the end of the day today.
The prognosis from, or the forecast, I should say, from safety authorities here, from the Minneapolis Fire Department, from the Minneapolis Police Department and other authorities, is that this is not only a recovery mission, but that they are anticipating more bodies to be found in the Mississippi River at this point.
And there will be a large-scale detective effort beginning later on today. There's planes on the way from Washington, D.C., probably as we're speaking right now, with officials from the NTSB, the chairman of the NTSB, the Secretary of Transportation, U.S. Senators, Congressman Ellison on the way. They'll be getting together and trying to figure out what went wrong.
There's a key player in this in Washington, D.C., Congressman Jim Oberstar from the 8th District. He is the chair of the Transportation Subcommittee. You can be sure we're going to be hearing from him and probably getting resources delivered from a powerful congressman like that in that position.
We are seeing now via Associated Press, we're anticipating the next public briefing for reporters and therefore for you, the viewers, 7:30 tomorrow morning. That will give them some time, about an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes to let the sun come up, to find out where they need to be, what they need to do, and then they'll brief the press. And we, of course, will be staying after that to let you know the very latest about what's happening.
We do have a couple of reports here. Some appear to be conflicting whether or not there are search crews in the water, dive crews right now in the water. One report that the Coast Guard did, in fact, still have dive crews in those very dark waters right now, but possibly using sonar equipment. Another report saying that the search has been called off as of 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have the sun coming up here in a few hours, so that information is going to be
leaked. That last report was from the Hennepin County Sheriff Rick Sanek, who said that his people and Minneapolis divers were not in the water. I find it hard to believe the Coast Guard divers are in there. They may be specially trained to work in the dark with the currents. The currents must be simply swirling underneath all of this rubble with the vehicles down there. An extremely dangerous situation.
You're listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul in Minneapolis. It's 2:04. And Nancy Fox joins me once again to try to give you a summary of the events that have taken place over the last 8 hours since about 6:05, when the 35W bridge collapsed near downtown Minneapolis by the University of Minnesota campus. Nancy, I don't know that there's a whole lot new happening. I think right now the service that we can provide is to just give people information on what has gone on and what things need to be done in the coming day to try to minimize the difficulty for rescue crews and moving traffic and all of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As the Channel 5 KSTP TV crew was just saying, it appears there are still some divers in the water, but that's probably the extent of the activity that's happening at the bridge collapse site right now. Most of the people who lived through it, I believe, have been rescued, and now it's pretty much just a recovery effort.
Yeah, that is my understanding as well. Of course, one would hold out hope that maybe there is somebody down there that somehow has survived and will make it, but one would think the chances of that are not good at this point, and obviously nobody that's underwater has any chance at this point.
Right, and part of the reason they decided to call off some of the rescue efforts was the darkness, number one, but certainly a lot of debris in that water from the bridge collapse. I understand there's a lot of rebar sticking up. There are, of course, the currents, and you and I both know that that river is not very clear. There's not a lot of clarity when you're in that water. You'd be lucky to see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, let's talk just a little bit about the traffic situation tomorrow. Primarily, just do not go through Minneapolis. If you must go into Minneapolis, you're going to have to find an alternative route if you had ordinarily come in on 35W from the north. But don't go through Minneapolis. East-west, get on 494, 694, 62 Crosstown. Don't go through on 94. Obviously, if you're headed from south of the city to north of the city, at the split, you go 35E through St. Paul. Don't go through Minneapolis. And then, Nancy, let us know again what has been done with 280 to facilitate north-south movement there.
Highway 280 is going to become the primary route. In essence, it's going to be a temporary freeway, and I use that term temporary very loosely. No traffic signals. If you're familiar with 280, once you get to the north end of it, right before it sort of merges with 35W and Highway 36, there's a stoplight at Broadway Avenue, and that access from Broadway Avenue to Highway 280 is going to be closed, because then that way they can eliminate that traffic light. Ditto for County Road B. They're going to close off access from County Road B onto 280, and the traffic signals at the Highway 280 locations will remain green for the northbound and southbound traffic that travels all the way through on Highway 280.
All right. Now, the latest that we have from the Star Tribune, they are reporting 9 confirmed dead, 60 injured, and 20 people still missing. So I fear, Nancy, that today, Thursday, August 2nd, is going to be a grim day in the history of the Twin Cities here, because they will undoubtedly get well into the recovery effort, and I suspect there are lots of people to recover. A very sad day.
It is a very sad day. Although it still amazes me the number of people that managed to survive.
Yes.
And we do have some audio from both survivors as well as people who helped those who were on the bridge. Xavier Sosa lives near the 35W bridge. He was watching from his apartment as it collapsed. Then he made his way down to the river to help rescue the victims.
You know, I don't know. I would probably say sheer stupidity, simply because, you know, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But, you know, I mean, there was people down there who needed help. So I figured, since the cops hadn't gotten here yet and neither had the medics, somebody had to help them out. So figured, why not go?
Now, Melissa Hughes was actually traveling on the bridge. She was in her car at the time that it collapsed. She was on the north side of the river when things started falling.
Just kind of that feeling, that free fall feeling. It felt like we did that twice, and I heard a loud, at that time I just stomped on the brake and held my steering wheel, and then heard a loud smash and saw my back window break.
A pickup traveling behind Hughes literally fell onto her car, smashing the back window out. Hughes amazingly walked away without a scratch.
Wow.
I also want to give out the phone number for Memorial Blood Centers, because all evening long people have been emailing the station asking, what can we do? And at this point in time, donating blood is a good way to start. If you want to donate blood, you can call the Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE, or you can contact Memorial Blood Centers. And in fact, there is a Memorial Blood Center about 4 blocks away from our radio station. We're located at 280 and University Avenue, and they're just south of University Avenue off Franklin. And that phone number for Memorial Blood Centers is 1-888-GIVE-BLD.
All right. Very good. Now, Nancy, I also want to mention to people that may not yet have heard that between 6 and 9 a.m., the Metro Transit will run 25 extra buses from the northern part of the Twin Cities into Minneapolis. Very quickly, the park and rides that will include some of the extra service are Foley Boulevard and Coon Rapids, served by routes 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall, served by route 270. Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County Road 81 in Brooklyn Center, served by routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, served by route 260. Roseville City Hall, Grace Lutheran Church, served by route 261. And Nancy, for those who weren't able to get that down or would like some additional detail, that's all been posted now at metrotransit.org, or between 6:30 in the morning and 9 p.m. tomorrow, folks can call 612-373-3333 to be updated on that. And obviously, people need to take alternative routes, but Nancy, if we could get a few more people on the buses in order to get less cars out there, that will help everybody.
Absolutely. Just kind of a sidebar, I found it interesting how this affected two of our major sports teams in the Twin Cities. The bridge collapsed about an hour before the first pitch at the Dome tonight, and our own Matt Thompson was in the DQ squawk box, so he was at the Dome, and he spoke with Twins president Dave St. Peter after the bridge collapsed. Dave St. Peter said they decided to keep everyone in the Metrodome, play the game as scheduled, and I have to believe part of the reason was, what does the Metrodome hold? 30,000 people if it's full?
Well, it holds more than that full, but they estimated about 20 to 25,000 would be at that game. I didn't hear the attendance number.
But be that what it may, the last thing they needed was to send those people out of the Metrodome back onto the highways. But tomorrow's Twins game has been canceled, and also tomorrow was the day that the Twins were going to have their official groundbreaking ceremony for the new stadium. That has also been canceled. And at this point in time, no rescheduled date has been set. On the other side of downtown Minneapolis, at the Target Center, there was a press conference that was about to get underway, having to deal with trading Kevin Garnett to the Boston Celtics. And Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor canceled that press conference because he found out moments before the press conference was supposed to start that his granddaughter was on the bridge at the time it collapsed. We have since learned she is okay.
That's good. I actually heard the audio earlier of Glenn Taylor talking, and he was very much upset, as anyone would be, if a grandchild of theirs was involved in that. Not good. So it's good to hear that she is all right, and a lot of people relieved to hear that that loved ones were okay. It's those are frightening events that take place. And I got to tell you, you asked me an hour ago when we spoke what my initial reaction was when I heard it, and my initial reaction was, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction as well. Well, what I first heard was the 35W bridge over the river collapsed, and I completely forgot about 35W crossing the Mississippi. I was thinking the Minnesota River.
Oh, down in Bloomington.
Right, down in Bloomington as you go into Burnsville. And then when I realized it was the bridge over the Mississippi, closer to the Metrodome, I too thought, okay, maybe part of it collapsed, and was absolutely shocked when I saw the pictures and saw that the whole entire thing had just crumbled.
Exactly. Now, another thing that we should make clear, too, is that supposedly Homeland Security has already issued a statement, in fact, quite some time ago, indicating that there is no reason to believe that terrorism is involved in any of this. At this point, all of the officials are of the opinion, and they're taking the position that this is purely a structural problem and nothing more. Nancy, you and I have agreed on the fact that I don't know how you know that within the short time frame that they came out and made this statement, but time will tell. That's what they're saying, and I certainly I don't know, but it will be interesting to see what gets uncovered here in the future. It certainly doesn't stretch one's imagination to think that there could be a structural problem with a 40-year-old bridge.
No, no, it doesn't. And as I said last hour, especially given the climate that we have, the vast temperature differences, summer to winter, the freezing, the thawing, the water that gets into the cracks, the fissures that form. So,
right.
Sad, very, very sad and tragic that it happened, but, you know, not beyond the realm of possibility, sadly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, something that's been kind of incredible to me is the national attention that this is getting, and maybe this is the inferiority complex that all of us Minnesotans have, but I kind of figured that since it happened in Minneapolis as opposed to Chicago, New York, or San Francisco, or L.A., that it would, you know, get a 14-second read on the news. Boy, I'll tell you, that has not been the case. Just about every website you go to dealing with news is carrying the story. There was a time that Riddler and I, about the same time, we were flipping around and noting that MSNBC, CNN, Fox News Channel, even ESPN, because, of course, there were, as you have pointed out, there were sports stories embedded within this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were all reporting on it. Nightline went with it. Of course, ironically enough, our Channel 5 is the ABC affiliate, and we preempted Nightline for our own local coverage, but they then went back and showed the replay, and a lot of Nightline tonight was taken up with this story. So, you know, the point is, we're not making too much of it as local people here covering this thing. It is truly a huge story.
You know, Dave, as you were talking about that, and I'm thinking about all of the other media holdings that have attached themselves to this story, the last time I saw Minnesota make headlines like this, something that's probably close to your heart, was back in 1997 when the Red River flooded and a part of Grand Forks burned.
Yes, yeah, you're exactly right.
I mean, that was front page. I happened to be in Hawaii on vacation at the time, and I remember picking up a local paper in Honolulu, and that was on the front page of the paper, the Honolulu paper.
I bet your eyes got big thinking, oof, this must be a big deal if it's making it there.
You know, I actually kind of knew it was coming because we'd had a lot of snow late that season, and I know that the Red River flows north and that things generally melt south to north, so I wasn't surprised by the events, but I was surprised by the coverage that it got.
Yeah, well, you know, these kinds of stories, they do weird things to you. I mean, here I am at 6 o'clock, standing at a baseball game, thinking that I'm going to come in here, get on the air sometime after 10, talk to Matt Thomas out at the Dome about the Twins game, and you know that by now I would be home having been tucked in bed for about an hour, and all of a sudden, you know, the world kind of gets turned upside down, and it's almost like it's not real as you're going through it.
It is very surreal. You're absolutely right.
And it was the same thing, because it's funny when you talk about the Red River Valley flood and how you experienced it from afar. Well, I had the very opposite experience, because when my sister and brother-in-law were told to vacate their home because the water was rising, they, along with my mother, went and stayed with some folks south of Grand Forks. Well, when it became obvious that my mother wasn't going to be able to return to her home anytime soon, I drove up to get her and back in one day, and it was about 5 hours each way, 4.5, 5 hours each way. And I picked her up on a farm just south of, or rural area just south of Grand Forks, and we're driving back as they're describing downtown Grand Forks burning. And it was the most amazing thing, knowing that, you know, your town is being flooded out, buildings are burning. It is just this unbelievable feeling.
For someone like you, since that is more or less your hometown where you grew up, spent your formative years, that had to be almost like an out-of-body experience.
It was. That is the right way to describe it. It was like you heard it was really happening. And, you know, we got back to the Twin Cities, put the television on, looked at the pictures, saw all of the familiar buildings, you know, flooded with the smoke coming out of the ones that had been burning. But it was still like, no. No, that really can't be home that's happening to. And, you know, you feel a little bit that way about tonight, looking at these, you know, they're showing the pictures again of that semi-tractor trailer that was burning and smoking and the bus there behind it. And, this, you know, this ought to be Beirut or something. It shouldn't be Minneapolis.
Yeah, not the kind of thing that that we expect here, or the kind of thing that we deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Nancy, well, I think I appreciate your help here, and, of course, you're sticking by the news desk, making sure that you get us the latest, and we'll cut into the Channel 5 coverage with anything that we think that you ought to know. But right now, we'll take you back to 5 Eyewitness News coverage of the collapse of the 35W bridge. We'll be back at about 2:30 for another update right here at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
With that indication of a problem, yearly inspections after that, more surface reviews, we have to figure out why this happened. And obviously, and just listening to, you know, the newscast before, the FBI and other federal authorities are also involved. I've spoken to Homeland Security also tonight. There's no indication of any terrorist activity, but clearly that angle also has to be checked out.
Senator, one final note here. For years, there has been growing concern voiced about the safety of the nation's bridge and interstate system. Are you fearful this is one of the bad examples?
We'll find out. Clearly, we have major issues with infrastructure. It's been a passion of mine. I'm a former mayor, both in rural and urban settings, and so this has been a major concern of mine. Let's get focused on this. Again, prayers to those who have been impacted, emergency response, but then there will be a full federal review as to the cause of this, and let us hope that this is not the beginning of revealing all sorts of structural infirmities. Let's sort it out first. But again, my thoughts and prayers with those who have been, you know, personally devastated by this horrific incident.
And you were listening to Senator Norm Coleman there on our 10 o'clock news last night. We are following more news and will be all night on the bridge collapse recovery.
Yeah, we're going to be back in just a moment with details about prayer services for the victims of this tragedy. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm not for sure it's going to last, but I wrote it down.
Unfiltered.
There was a few people trying to figure out why Lou was trying to deke the runner there with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, that's why you take your hat off in the dugout.
And unmitigated.
Well, it looked like you were setting up a screen pass.
What did you say?
It's Ron Gardenhire straight up.
He was closer to it than he was earlier in the season when he had the ball land in deep center.
Well, you don't want to get hit either.
The Ron Gardenhire Show, Sunday mornings at 9:30, only on AM 1500 KSTP.
Suffering from severe meningitis, Sage Bowman lost both of his legs at age 4. But Shriners Hospitals for Children have given thousands of kids like Sage a second chance at life.
It was like walking into Disneyland. We were just greeted by so many friendly faces.
Shriners Hospitals provide expert medical care for kids with orthopedic problems or severe burns that's among the best found anywhere in the world. And they provide their world-class care completely without cost.
It was unbelievable taking a weight off our shoulders.
Shriners Hospitals also feature outstanding teaching and world-class research programs. At Shriners Hospitals, Sage was fitted with state-of-the-art prosthetics.
He started walking and I was crying. I mean, I was just so proud of him.
It's a hospital built on the love of children.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. Call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids right here in the Twin Cities area.
AM 1500, KSTP.
It's sort of unreal that you see the cars just sitting there, like, just collapsed, dropped.
It's terrible. I don't know how this could have happened. I've never seen anything quite like it in my life. I could have been on it. My family could have been on it. It's scary.
But you don't know if your friends who live around here are there over there, or it could be anyone you know.
Since this accident is national and even international news, many on that bridge called loved ones in other states to tell them they were okay. Hennepin County Medical Center is under a code orange disaster alert. Many of the hospitals in the area have been. They're treating several patients overnight. Here's what Dr. Joseph Clinton said late last night.
Things are, from a medical standpoint, at this hospital, everything is under control, and I believe they are throughout the city from a medical standpoint. It looks like the scene at the bridge, from the information we have, is largely a recovery operation at this time.
Do you know how many other victims are at other hospitals?
I don't have an absolute number, but they've gone to several of the hospitals in the Twin Cities area.
Can you tell anything more about the one death?
No, I don't have any additional information on that. We're still notifying family.
What about the critically injured from earlier? Have you been able to stabilize them?
Yes, we've had four patients who've had surgery.
Okay.
I believe everyone that's here is stable, but there are still critically ill patients here. As far as the six who are critically ill, their condition hasn't been officially changed yet.
Have you missed information about the fatalities or the age of the person?
No, I don't have any more information at this time.
You mentioned the walking wounded earlier. Have you seen many of these people?
We have not here. Apparently, a number of them went to the University Hospital and to other hospitals in the area.
Of the patients, any children?
I'm sorry? Yes, there were a number of children that were taken to North Memorial Hospital, and we received one child here. I just saw him, so I don't know the absolute age. I think it was a teenager. We're still identifying everyone, so that's one of the logistical problems, is making sure we have everyone properly identified.
Are you at all surprised there have not been more patients coming through throughout the
evening? Not really. I think that it's a function of how many people are on the bridge at the time. So.
And so you still have 22 non-critical and 6 critical?
I believe that's the number, yes.
No more patients came in after you last talked to us?
No.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Could you characterize this type of surgery?
I believe one patient had surgery on their head, craniotomy, and three had abdominal surgery. There was another chest injury that did not require surgery, but required some local treatment for that.
Injuries consistent with a fall or?
Fall, crush.
The rest of the night is going to be like.
I think they, from a medical standpoint, the rest of the night should be quiet.
Doctor, are the patients sharing their stories when they're talking to staff?
I'm sorry?
Are patients able to say what happened to staff?
I haven't gotten any information from patients about the situation.
Can you review the types of injuries again, Doctor, from what to what?
The types of injuries are blunt force injuries, so the patients who are critical had truncal injuries, abdominal, chest injuries, and head injuries. And then we had extremity injuries and people with various aches and pains. We had one penetrating injury of the chest. The injuries we've had, the critical injuries, were injuries to the trunk, head, one penetrating injury to the chest, and orthopedic injuries.
And again, in terms of response to the hospital, there was never any strain on resources you got from any?
No, the hospital responded very, very well. We had plenty of people, medical, non-medical, administrative, transportation, cafeteria. We had a very excellent response. Public safety did an outstanding job. Police, fire, paramedics.
What kind of preparations did the medical center go through in terms of getting ready for something like this?
Well, we do a number of drills throughout the year on various types of disasters.
And has everything from what's gone on at the hospital standpoint, has everything played out sort of, as much as close to how it's trained as possible?
Nothing ever goes exactly according to plan, but it did play out well, yes. No, nothing goes exactly according to plan. So I think that will be it tonight from a medical standpoint.
Can you give us a time tomorrow morning? Are you going to be able to give us an update on what?
Well, it won't be me giving the update. I think you'll be getting updates from, I would expect, public safety and from the site. I think there are still a number of people who have not been recovered, so that I think that this will be, I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but it'll probably be like any terrible disaster such as this. Huh? No.
Thank you.
I believe it was drowning. I believe. Thank you.
And you were looking at some unedited tape from a news briefing earlier this evening at Hennepin County Medical Center.
talking about the injuries they were treating there and the one drowning victim that they dealt with there. Of course, there are a number of other casualties also that have been reported since then. Well, a man named Jacob Reynolds brought us some amazing pictures. He was on the scene just seconds after the bridge collapsed. These are pictures he took with his digital camera. They capture the chaos and the raw emotion at the very beginning of this disaster.
Cars were exploding. There was, you know, popping, big, you know, explosions. And I just didn't know what was going to happen to those guys.
Reynolds took dozens of pictures, and we have posted them at KSTP.com if you want to take a look. Soon after the bridge collapsed, crews moved back in to help with the massive emergency response. The crews worked with law enforcement to seal off the end of the bridge. Those barricades will likely remain in place for quite some time. We also saw rescue boats and emergency crews heading to the scene from all angles, from the ground, from the water, everywhere. And as the crews worked, hundreds of witnesses stood on overpasses and nearby roads watching as the disaster and the response unfolded.
We were sitting in our unit, just hanging out in the office, and it sounded like a jet was going to hit our building or something. And then we looked around and we came out. My niece and nephew were like, oh my God, look at all the smoke.
I still think it could happen here, you know?
None of us did. The Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis have scheduled prayer services today at noon. The Minneapolis service will be at St. Olaf Catholic Church in St. Paul. Go to the Cathedral of St. Paul. And I know throughout the evening there were many clergy on hand at the scene just to deal with the grieving people who had come from the scene and family members who were arriving at the scene. But again, if you are interested in going to a prayer service, here are two that are happening today.
I think I heard there was many as 25 or 30 pastors and priests and different faiths on hand at that Red Cross emergency shelter there to lend a hand. They didn't really know what to say to a lot of these people because, frankly, they don't. Some of these people that were unaccounted for, they just don't know where they are.
Right. We are here gathering more news for you all night long.
Yeah, we're going to be right back with some details on some cancellations due to this disaster. We'll be back with that and much more coming up in just a moment.
You know, Rook, I'm not going to lie. I like a good piece of meat, and any weight loss plan that allows you to have steak works for me. It's Angie, along with Rook, for Slim for Life, where you can lose up to 3 to 5 pounds a week and keep it off during the holidays and even on vacation. 952-698-SLIM. That's 952-698-SLIM with 9 locations, including Coon Rapids, Eagan, and Eden Prairie.
Listen, I'm not going to go on any weight loss plan that says you can't have meat. I'm talking chicken, steak, burgers, brats. You have to live your life, especially in the summer. Slim for Life recognizes that. They'll help you. They'll give you a free, no-obligation evaluation. You make an appointment online, you'll save $50 on a full program. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. Write this website number down. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. One more time for you that are very slow out there. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. You want to get skinny? Be like me, Rook. I lost 40 pounds, kept it off for 8 months with Slim for Life Weight Loss Centers.
You save big money, you save big money when you shop Menards.
At Menards, you'll find the largest selection of Mastercraft doors. Right now, save 12% on all of Mastercraft's custom collection interior doors. Choose from 41 glass designs and 24 panel designs in 8 wood species or prime. Choose your door style, size, and wood species to give your home a custom look. There are over 4,000 combinations on sale at Menards. Continue that look outside with Mastercraft's huge collection of exterior doors. Many are Energy Star rated. A 32 or 36 inch wide steel pre-hung entry door comes with insulated glass and is ready to install. Only $139. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card.
Save big money at Menards.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Dave Thompson back here with you at the Talk Station. Glad that you joined us here to stay up to date on the continuing coverage of the bridge collapse, 35W, near downtown, near the University of Minnesota campus. The morning crew is now in at Channel 5, Tom Hauser, along with Vanita Sakar, and we will return you to their live coverage shortly, but we just want to get you up to date on some of the summary items that you ought to know about. And first and foremost, we want to talk to you about traffic. Kenny Olson will be coming in about 4 o'clock to keep everybody up to date on exactly what's going on with the traffic, but we cannot overemphasize the importance of staying away from downtown Minneapolis if you don't have to go there. Do not go through Minneapolis on 94. Obviously, you can't go through on 35W to the north, but don't come up from the south and then, you know, funnel yourself off to 94 east or west. Just avoid the downtown area as a place to pass through. If you must go there as a destination, you're going to have to find an alternative route coming from the north. Get off 35W onto 280. And as Nancy Fox has reported a couple of times, they are converting 280 into a temporary freeway. In other words, those lights will stay green all the time, and the cutoffs there will not be available. In other words, once you're on 280, you're cruising just like down a freeway. So that's what you'll want to do there. If you're going from the southern part of the metro area to the northern part of the metro area or vice versa, go through on 35E, head through St. Paul. And, that's just what we're going to have to do for a time. Once again, I'm not going to detail all of the park and rides where there is additional bus service on this bottom of the hour break here, but I'll do it again for you at 3 o'clock when Nancy Fox is back to talk with me. Suffice it to say that coming from the northern part of the metro area, Metro Transit is going to have 25 extra buses operating from 6 to 9 in the morning, and then additional buses also heading out of Minneapolis going back up to the north. And at the end of the day, you can get details on that at metrotransit.org or call tomorrow between 6:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. at 612-373-3333. And we will I will go over those park and ride locations for you at 3 o'clock here when we give you just a little bit more of an expanded summary. And as we have talked about, we don't have exact numbers on things yet, but the Star Tribune continues to report that there are 9 deaths, in fact, confirmed as a result of this bridge collapse, 60 injured and 20 missing. That is according to the Star Tribune. Other sources are saying 7 confirmed dead. Unfortunately, public officials are of the opinion that today will be a bit of a grim day here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, as the rescue effort has now been declared a recovery effort, and undoubtedly we're going to get some not good news on most, if not all, of the 20 that are missing. So that's where we are at this point. And also just a couple of other notes for you. The blood bank can definitely use some more blood. They have called upon people to do that, and they are, in fact, not only interested in blood donations, but also donations of money. And you can set an appointment by calling between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. today at 1-888-GIVE-BLD. That's 1-888-GIVE-BLD in order to help out by giving blood. All classes and operations at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus will be going on as normal today. Do not assume that you don't have class or you're not working, because that is not the case. If you are one of the people who is concerned about the status of a loved one, you can call the Red Cross at 612-871-7676. Once again, that's 612-871-7676. You can leave a message and we'll get a return call from the Red Cross as they will attempt to help you find out the whereabouts of a loved one. All right, with that, we'll go back to Channel 5 coverage of 5 Eyewitness News. The morning crew now in about 3 hours early. Tom Hauser and Vanita Sarkar, they are live giving you the new information as we have it. We'll be back here at 3 o'clock with further updates, and obviously AM 1500 will be covering this situation live all throughout the broadcast day. Coming up, Willie Clark and Jay Coles are coming in a half hour early. They'll be taking over for me at 5 o'clock. We'll have, I believe, both Bob Berglund and John Haidt in to keep you up to date on the very latest news, along with, of course, Kenny Olson, who will be carefully monitoring the traffic. So we will be your go-to station for information on this incident as we continue to to determine the extent of the damage, the extent of loss of life, and figure out how we're going to try to function here in the Twin Cities after losing a major bridge. More to come right here at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
There was a disconnect. We thought there were 21 people killed. And so I know what they're going through, and it's... And I know what they're going to be going through.
It appears that we have we do have improved communications, the technology alone, John.
We're going to have a news conference at 8 in about 6 minutes, so we're going to warn you right now, Commissioner. We're going to be bouncing around here a little bit. The City Hall, the mayor will be there, the governor will be there. We had pulled from the University of Minnesota website this report, and I don't know how specifically you can talk about this, but walk us through this language. It's from 2001. The research helped determine that the fatigue cracking of the deck truss is not likely, which means that the bridge should not have any problems with fatigue cracking in the foreseeable future.
Well, John, I'm not a structural engineer, and I think you need to talk to a structural engineer to answer that specifically. But I can tell you that in Minnesota, we have close to 20,000 bridges statewide. At any one time, the statistics will show that there's between 40 and 50% of those bridges are rated deficient. Now, the deficiency can be structural deficiency. It could be rusting. I mean, there could be a number of different things. And so it doesn't mean that half of the bridges are ready to collapse. Across the country, there's... close to 600,000 bridges. That same percentage applies across the country. I think what will happen here in Minnesota now is what happened when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. It'll be a reassessment of the inspection procedures and all across. You know, it's not only the state federal system that we're talking about, but it'll force in further inspections and increased inspections at the city level and county level. And this is not the time for anyone to criticize anybody. And as far as the, and I just want to say this too, about a week ago I was in the bridge office here at MnDOT. The chief bridge inspector or engineer, Dan Dorgan, is really one of the finest, most experienced bridge people in the country.
And he has spanned many administrations. He's not a political
appointee. No, he's not a political, and I think you really want to talk to him. I'm confident that at MnDOT, in the bridge office, there's a high degree of competency, as good as any place in the country. And what's complicated here now is that there's debris, there's people, there's cars, they'll have to block off the bridge, they have to block off the river. They have to salvage what they can. We had rain also in those years, and that complicates it. It's a very complicated and very trying situation.
Is the Minnesota Department of Transportation the primary body that inspects, oversees, and that will be involved in any kind of, a reconstruction of what's going on?
Well, as you know, there's a close working relationship between the Federal Highway Administration, and there's a local office here, and the Minnesota DOT.
So
they work closely together.
Involved.
And I know the people at Hennepin County and Ramsey County, they're really competent bridge people there. So, you know, this will renew the discussion on funding, how much you can patch, how much you need to reconstruct. All of those issues will now come up again, as they do whenever there's an incident like this.
And we're being told that the work being done on this bridge today, patching, filling cracks, routine work, summertime work, no significant structural work. That goes on all the time.
Well, I remember when I was commissioner, the Wabasha Street Bridge in St. Paul, it was over 100 years old. It had a kind of a pin. It was news to me how that was constructed. And they said that time, if you get too much traffic on the bridge at any one time, vibration can cause a problem. Or if somebody hits a pier, it can knock it over. So it's frightening, you know, to people. And you have to rely on people who are trained in the structural engineering field. So that's why I say I think the public can know that MnDOT, and to answer your question specifically, we're in good hands with MnDOT. What they find here is another issue, but I'm sure you're not going to find incompetence on the part of the bridge people. I mean, I know who they are, and they're very, very qualified. But what happens now in this whole process, I guess we'll have to find.
A 40-year-old bridge, is that a baby by bridge standards?
Well, bridges can go a long time depending on what kind of maintenance it's had, what kind of repairs. You know, there's and traffic's increasing, as you know, 4 to 10% a year. The roads are getting clogged. There's heavier trucks today. There's vibration that causes these problems. Bridges get an overlay. It's like putting sometimes a Band-Aid on a cancer. You can only repair them so long until you have to replace them. So I don't know the specifics of this bridge. And as I said, when I got off the plane, I was shocked. I looked at the TV and And mm-hmm. I know just from actually what I've heard now.
It breaks your heart.
That's horrible.
Let's get another report then, if you don't mind staying here, Commissioner Levine. Let's take a look here. Go out to Bob McDaney, who is in Chopper 5. Bob?
Yeah, we just want to give you a perspective of how broad-based this problem is going to be. Obviously, we've got the human tragedy on the ground, but this is going to be quite disruptive. We are over Rosedale right now, and what you're looking at is where MnDOT has closed the 35W-36 interchange as far east as Rosedale. So 35 all the way to downtown from here is closed, as you can see. There is traffic coming back from the north, but it is only coming about a mile or so. So basically the north and the east side of 35W is shut down, as you can see, and traffic is being routed to the north. So again, we're over in Rosedale. If you're in the east metro, this is as close as you're going to get to downtown Minneapolis along this particular interstate.
Sorry. Cindy, John? Hey, Bob, thanks. We said it a little while ago, and it's apparent and obvious. This bridge is in the middle of everything. It is in the middle of it all in the Twin Cities, and that is a real example of how this is the domino effect of what's happened here.
Joining us right now is former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine, and you mentioned traffic management is going to be an issue now because of exactly what has where it's happened.
Well, in my years being out of government, I've been involved in a lot of traffic issues, and in recent discussions over in San Francisco with security people there, they were telling us about some of the concerns they had if the Bay Bridge went down, or what happens to traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, here in the Twin Cities, every bridge is vital, obviously, and what will happen now is that traffic congestion will be a huge problem, because on the interstate system, we're pretty good. MnDOT has loop detectors implanted in the ground. There's sensors, there's cameras, there's ways to detect what kind of traffic is moving and how fast, where it's going, and so on. But there's no way to determine, because there aren't loop detectors, there aren't sensors on secondary roads and on arterial roads. So when people who normally use this road need to get from point A to point B and there's no bridge, they'll have to figure out, and MnDOT and the city of Minneapolis and others will have to figure out how they can get from here to there. And that's going to be a problem. And when you're reporting the traffic conditions in the morning on Channel 5, people are going to tune on and they're going to want to know, what is it like where I'm going? How do I get to University Avenue? Or how do I get to? And it's going to be a huge problem, because there isn't a system in place here now to be able to determine that.
Yeah, but I would encourage people to go to our website at some point before your morning commute and find out what the alternatives are. You can pretty much imagine what the alternatives are, but it's a lot easier to look at it on a screen and map it out and figure out how long it might take you to get to where you need to go than for us to detail the roads, which we'll do. But then again, look at it in front of you and really map it out, because this bridge collapse is going to send ripples through the Twin Cities for months and months and months, if not years.
It's very true, John Mason. Your words are very, very true. Throughout the night, you're going to be hearing some of the highlights, some of the main points that were made last night up until about 2 o'clock this morning. Also, we're going to be updating you on any new information, any little bit of information, anything we can get from the scene. Right now, we are the only Twin Cities television station on the air, and we will be on the air throughout the morning, giving you the latest.
And there is some discrepancy about the number of dead. Us and the Associated Press are reporting 7 of the Star Tribune is reporting 9 dead at this point. Everybody seems to agree there are 60 injured and 20 people still unaccounted for and missing. So we'll be keeping track of those numbers if they change overnight as well. In the meantime, as we've told you, this is a national story. In fact, Nightline led their broadcast with the bridge collapse tonight. We're going to show you some of that when we come back after a break.
What kind of man listens every Sunday night to Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry? I'll tell you what kind. He's a real man. A manly, sinewy kind of fellow who finds it necessary to shave 3 times a day and does so gladly. A robust, barrel chunk of masculinity who would never take a cross-stitch class or ride a moped with another guy. No, this is a man with friends who have names like Red and Chuck. A stout, barrel-chested giant of a galoot who's not afraid to learn new things about hunting and fishing from 2 fellow outdoorsmen. Our man knows that Bear Facts and Fishtails is the only place on the radio where he can properly compare his weekend catch. Oh, and he likes the manly name too, Bear Facts and Fishtails. Yes, sir, this man even likes the taste of the radio knob as he bites it off and spits it at some wormy little guy wearing a sweater tied around his neck who wants to listen to some weeny love song and dedication show. Mark and Larry host Bear Facts and Fishtails Sunday night at 7 on AM 1500 KSTP.
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's got to be big. It's got to be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
You take your six-year-old to the playground. You watch her run from the slide to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for a few seconds. You look back, and she's gone.
Lily? Lily?
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
As I mentioned a moment ago, Nightline devoted the beginning of its program to the bridge collapse here in the city of Minneapolis. Our Chris O'Connell, one of our reporters, helped with their coverage. Here's a taste of what they did tonight.
Tonight on Nightline, deadly collapse. A massive bridge span on a major highway falls into the Mississippi. Rush hour catastrophe. Cars and trucks tumble into the water. Dozens more remain trapped on the bridge. How did it happen? We're live from Minnesota with the latest.
From the global resources of ABC News, with Terry Moran in Washington, Martin Bashir, and Cynthia McFadden in New York City, this is Nightline, August 1st, 2007.
Good evening. This is the scene of the tragedy outside Minneapolis tonight. An eight-lane highway that carries over 100,000 cars a day collapsed into the Mississippi River at the height of rush hour. At this point, we know that at least seven people are dead, and that figure may yet increase. At the moment, according to the Coast Guard, dozens of cars and trucks remain in the water completely submerged. We're joined now by Chris O'Connell of our ABC affiliate KSTP, who's on the scene. Chris, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Martin, this scene is almost unimaginable. A one-third mile stretch of I-35W, one of the busiest highways in the Twin Cities here, collapses, as you said, at the height of rush hour, collapsing into the Mississippi River, carrying with it scores of cars, buses, vans, trucks, all just going in, plunging into the Mississippi River. Seven people are dead at last count. 60 others are injured, and now the search continues at this hour for any other victims who may be caught in the rubble. Let's take you in on what is happening right now at this moment. You see, this is I-35W. This bridge crosses the Mississippi River at about 6:05 at the height of rush hour. It collapses into the Mississippi River. You see that sign where it says University Avenue. Right past that, there is no more roadway. This bridge was built in 1967. It is a fairly old bridge. There was construction going on at this bridge at the time of this crash, but it was only surface type of minor repairs going on. At this time, there is no evidence it was a terrorist attack, but perhaps some engineering failure on this bridge. But right now, rescue crews are still searching for victims on the banks of the Mississippi River. We're seeing medevac helicopters flurrying about, which means there could be still victims being taken to nearby hospitals, but is a major catastrophe here in the Twin Cities.
Chris, do you have any clear idea yet as to the number of vehicles in totality that are either trapped on the bridge or indeed still in the water?
Martin, it is really hard to tell because this was bumper-to-bumper traffic going over this bridge. A lot of people were going home from work. Some people were coming into town for a Minnesota Twins baseball game. But right now, no word yet on how many cars may have taken that plunge. At least 50 cars. We understand there are still many, many still submerged. And with that rubble, you saw the video of that rubble. There's still feared that still people may be trapped inside that rubble. But as darkness falls here in the Twin Cities, that recovery and rescue effort is being dampened at this point.
Chris O'Connell, thank you. There are many questions tonight and so few answers, but bit by bit, a picture of just what happened this evening is starting to emerge. Here's Nightline's Chris Bury.
At the height of the evening rush hour, shortly after 6 o'clock, a center section of the busy 8-lane bridge, I-35 West in downtown Minneapolis, just gave way. It had been under construction. The first pictures gave a sense of the tragic scope. The first reporters on the scene conveyed the horror.
I've seen it with my own eyes, and I gotta tell you, it's the most awful thing I've ever seen.
Emergency officials said as many as 50 cars and trucks had plunged into the Mississippi River. Survivors and witnesses, some clearly shaken, gave vivid and terrifying accounts of what they'd seen.
There's cars in the water, there's a semi on fire, there's a school bus on the bridge. I don't know if it was filled with it. It's a mess.
My truck was completely face down, was pointing towards the ground, falling towards the ground, and my truck got ripped in half. When I got over my truck, it was folded in half, and I can't believe I'm alive. We were bumper-to-bumper traffic, probably going 10 miles an hour. The bridge started shaking, and the whole bridge from one end of the bridge to the other just completely collapsed. I thought I was dead. I literally thought I was dead.
I looked forward, and the bridge ahead of me was undulating, and I thought this could collapse too. I could go down. It kept going, and I made it.
Within the hour, boats and divers were in the water, at first attempting rescues, and then their efforts focused on recovering the bodies.
It is a recovery effort in the river, not a rescue effort, but a recovery effort.
A school bus leaned perilously close to the very edge. It had been carrying young children. But somehow, luckily, the bus had stopped just short of the point where the highway so abruptly ended.
Me and about two or three other men were actually taking the kids off of the bridge and, you know, actually lifting them down because, you know, the bridge was completely down and we had to, you know, have a couple of them jump, you know, because...
And the kids were what, screaming?
They were screaming, crying. At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere. And then I realized that the bridge is going down and it just fell all the way down.
On the smoldering bridge, a tractor trailer and other vehicles burned. Some were barely hanging on. Underneath the mangled metal and concrete, cars were crushed like tin cans.
Like the types of injuries are typical blunt type of injuries from motor vehicle trauma or fall, which means injuries to the head and face and extremities. The problem with these types of injuries is you don't know the extent of the internal injuries, and that's what we're determining right now.
Can you elaborate more on the cause of death?
We believe that the cause of death was a drowning.
Drowning.
And there may be more at the scene. I don't have information on the scene.
Hospital officials quickly activated their disaster plan, setting up triage for the many critically injured.
Hundreds of paramedics from around the Twin Cities. We have 100 paramedics here. Our nurses have all been alerted, 100 of them in the emergency department, nurses from the critical care units. Our whole medical staff was notified.
The bridge downtown near the University of Minnesota was 500 feet long. Constructed 40 years ago, the most heavily traveled bridge in the state.
Complete disaster. Everybody was completely shaken up. Cars were everywhere, front end smashed in. Cars in the water. The entire center section of the bridge is just laying right across the Mississippi.
Some of the traffic was headed to the Metrodome, where the Minnesota Twins were set to host the Kansas City Royals. After a moment of silence, the game went on.
Up the middle.
Tonight, rescue workers toiled under difficult conditions as daylight faded and thunderstorms threatened. State officials confirmed the bridge had been inspected 3 years ago and given a clean bill of health. No sign of terrorism, said the head of Homeland Security. The National Transportation Safety Board promised a full investigation to find out what exactly went so horribly wrong. This is Chris Bury for Nightline in Washington.
The FAA in Minnesota. We'll be right back.
interesting to see how Nightline covered it from the national perspective. I did an interview with Australian TV on the phone, and all the way in Australia, their morning show, they wanted to know the latest on what was going on.
Yeah, it is remarkable. This is, certainly has worldwide interest, and I know we've all gotten emails, and many people in the Twin Cities have gotten emails from friends all over the country and the world wondering, are you okay?
Right, absolutely. We'll be right back.
You know, Rook, I'm not going to lie. I like a good piece of meat, and any weight loss plan that allows you to have steak works for me. It's Angie, along with Rook, for Slim for Life, where you can lose up to 3 to 5 pounds a week and keep it off during the holidays and even on vacation. 952-698-SLIM. That's 952-698-SLIM with 9 locations, including Coon Rapids, Eagan, and Eden Prairie.
Listen, I'm not going to go on any weight loss plan that says you can't have meat. I'm talking chicken, steak, burgers, brats. You have to live your life, especially in the summer. Slim for Life recognizes that. They'll help you. They'll give you a free, no-obligation evaluation. You make an appointment online, you'll save $50 on a full program. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. Write this website number down. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. One more time for you that are very slow out there. SlimForLifeTwinCities.com. You want to get skinny? Be like me, Rook. I lost 40 pounds, kept it off for 8 months with Slim for Life Weight Loss Centers.
If you've recently sustained...
Yo, that's him right up there. Stop the car right here.
Gang violence.
Gunshots. Unfit and blind.
Police.